It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello.
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 It is Friday, October the 21st, 2022. It is 1900 UTC, and I'm drinking a beer. Things have been stressful. I've complained a bunch. My emotions continue to be a little unregulated. I'm going to try and fix that as best I can, but we're getting there. I think we're almost out of the woods. Fingers crossed. Usually there's different little signs that things are getting better. This has been a bad one, though. I might actually go talk to a doctor or something. Probably not, but I should. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get talking. Let's get on with it. Thank you for being here. It is, you're listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. SDF's powered by you. So thank you for being here and tuning in, hanging out. If you want to chat during the show, you can SSH over to SDF.org. Launch COM. Run the program COM. Just type COM. Press Enter. Press G for go to, and then type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word. This is a pre-record, so may or may not be people hanging out there, but every goddamn day at 1930 UTC is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, having a lot of fun there, so check that out. Go to anonradio.net for the full schedule. Press the equal sign in com if you'd like. Of course, be remiss without mentioning, there is a fantastic show called The Intergalactic Wasabi Mix that you should be checking out. Even in the archives, it's a ton of fun. So just tune in. Check it out. DJ Snowdesk, the one of the greats. We're really lucky to have them around. All right. Let's talk. Let's go. Malawi finds mass grave of suspected Ethiopian migrants. That's right. Malawi has discovered a mass grave in the north of the country containing the remains of 25 people suspected to be migrants from Ethiopia, police said on Wednesday. The grave was discovered late on Tuesday, but we cordoned it off and started exhuming today. So far, we've discovered 25 bodies. Police were alerted by villagers in the Mzibe area, about 250 kilometers north of the capital, who stumbled on the grave while collecting wild honey in a forest. Man, honey sounds so good right now. The bodies appear to have been buried, probably not more than a month ago, he said. Malawi is a popular route for illegal immigrants from East Africa being smuggled to South Africa, the continent's most industrialized country, and a magnet for poor migrants from elsewhere on the continent. Police often catch trucks transporting migrants passing through the country en route to South Africa via Mozambique. Galea said that between January and September this year, authorities had intercepted 221 illegal immigrants, 186 of whom were Ethiopians. In the U.S., we've taken to calling people undocumented migrants or something like that. We don't want to call a person illegal. But anyway, that's just a little bit of info there in Malawi. Dozens killed in Chad after protesters demand civilian rule. May not remember, but there was a coup there. Chadian security forces opened fire on anti-government demonstrators in the country's two largest cities, killing dozens of people. Chadian government spokesman Aziz Mohamed Saleh said 30 people were dead in the capital of N'Djamena. Organizers of the march, though, placed the toll higher at 40 on Thursday. Another 32 protesters were killed in Chad's second largest city, Mondoujo, according to an official in the city's morgue. The official, who spoke on condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity of the matter, said more than 60 people were wounded. At the main hospital in N'Djamena, overwhelmed doctors tended to scores of people with gunshot wounds. Police earlier fired tear gas at crowds, but the demonstrators continued advancing and their numbers grew. It was then that security forces opened fire, leaving protesters struggling to gather the dead from the scene. Among those killed was Chadian journalist Narcisse Oredihe, who worked for Cephod Radio, or Charlie Echo Foxtrot Oscar Delta Radio, and was struck by a bullet. Hundreds of people took to the street to mark the date when the military initially promised to hand over power, a period that's been extended for another 2 years, which is kind of a common tactic. The country's been rocked by a political crisis since longtime President Idriss Deby was killed on the battlefield in April 2021 while visiting the frontline troops. I think we talked about that when that happened. Mohammed Idriss Deby, his 38-year-old son, was then installed by the military's interim president. He had initially promised not to take part in elections that would follow an 18-month transition to civilian rule, but as the deadline neared, a nationwide forum staged by Deby reset the clock. On October 1st, it approved a new maximum, in air quotes, 24-month time frame for holding elections. So, we'll see how that goes. Maybe another coup happening out there in Chad, though. So, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, or at least mention, that Liz Truss is out over there in the United Kingdom. She is the shortest-serving prime minister, or short, at least will be. Liz Truss has resigned as prime minister after 45 days in office, marked by turmoil triggering the second Tory leadership election in 4 months. I just saw a video. I'm going to go double-check it real quick. I think it was The Sun that had this. Ah, here it is. Okay, here it was. According to the New York Times, the British tabloid The Daily Sun, I don't know why we're going through, oh, because it's MSN, they can't be trusted, to tell their head from their ass. According to the New York Times, the British tabloid The Daily Sun, so just The Daily Sun, arranged the head-to-head of lettuce face-off based on an online in an Economist article concerning Truss's economic plan. The New York Times reports that Truss's plan to cut taxes and sent British markets into a downward spiral and tanked the value of the pound. In the October 11th dated Economist article, Truss was referred to as the Iceberg Lady, and it was said that her true tenure as prime minister lasted about 7 days, or the average shelf life of a head of lettuce. This inspired the staff at the Daily Sun to have some produce-fueled fun at her expense. On October 14th, the Daily Sun started a live stream on YouTube, posing the question, will Liz Truss outlast this lettuce? The video showed a head of iceberg lettuce, purchased from a Tesco for 60 pence, and a portrait of Truss sitting on a table. The table and lettuce would later be found to be adorned with decorations as the countdown continued and tensions heightened. The lettuce was officially declared the winner when Liz Truss resigned as prime minister. The stream is still ongoing as fans of the lettuce declare it the new prime minister via chat. It was also announced... Oh, man, I haven't laughed in a while. That was good. It was also announced that the lettuce would supposedly address the nation at 6 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Hopefully, the lettuce will discuss its tips for staying fresh and future plans, which hopefully don't include being used in a wedge salad recipe. The Telegraph reports that the stunt by the Daily Sun became a much-discussed matter on international news and social media as Truss' leadership was being challenged. So, quite entertaining here, and just a bit of fun at Ms. Truss' expense there. Europe is facing a more serious issue, though, tough decisions over nuclear power. Russian supplies of natural gas have been disrupted amidst the war in the Ukraine, and energy prices have soared to historic levels, emergency levels. Meanwhile, some countries are suffering a lingering hangover from the COVID-19 pandemic. In France, half the country's nuclear power plants are not currently operating. The main reasons are corrosion, planned maintenance, and delayed maintenance due to pandemic-linked staffing issues, exclaims Phuc Vinh Nguyen, who researches European energy policy at the Jacques Delors Energy Center in France. And his name is missing a whole bunch of accent marks, which I thought was interesting. Anyway, Mr. Nguyen warns that across the EU, the energy price crisis will probably last until at least 2024. In this situation, some see the use of nuclear reactors as a way to decouple from Russian natural gas. You don't say. You think Russia... Nuclear power? Could it possibly be more efficient and a better use of resources? I don't know. It's only more energy dense than anything else on the planet or in the universe. Russia influences also looms over many aspects of nuclear power generation. Russia dominates the supply of nuclear fuel, the enrichment of uranium, and the building of nuclear power plants in other countries. At Liebstadt, Switzerland's largest and youngest nuclear power plant, half the uranium supply comes from Russia. There, as elsewhere, there's a scramble to source more uranium from outside the Russian sphere of influence, like Australia. I'm assuming that that's what they're going to say. The backdrop to this is the Russian occupation of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear facility, raising fresh fears about the weaponization of nuclear science. Fabian Luscher, who heads the nuclear energy section at the Swiss Energy Foundation, says that Europe's aging nuclear fleet is not adapted to deal with the contemporary terrorist attacks and cyber attacks. You even have to think of these very unlikely possibilities when planning risky infrastructure. And then, of course, there's the problem of nuclear waste. You know, all couple pounds of it. Angelique Hugin is part of a group of activists affiliated with the anti-nuclear movement, Sortir du Nucléaire, who have taken up residence near the Sigeo Nuclear Research Laboratory in northeastern France. The activists share a home in the charming commune of Bure, amidst stone houses with bright blue shutters. It's irresponsible, she says, to leave the problem of nuclear waste for future generations, and she believes that nuclear accidents at Chernobyl and Fukushima are evident that you have to stop supporting nuclear power. This article goes on for a while, but eventually, Mr. Nguyen believes that this is a landmark moment not only to shape future energy infrastructure, but also to embed behavioral changes. We can build a narrative where sufficiency meets measures are part of the solution. So, pretty serious times there. We'll see where Europe goes, but nuclear power is not a bad option, you know. You get one freight order of your uranium, and then you just kind of chill out for 50 years. More than 100 people killed in 2 days of fighting in Sudan. Almost missed this story, forgot about it. At least 150 people have been killed, including women and children, in tribal clashes in Blue Nile State, officials say. At least 150 were killed during 2 days of fighting in the latest ethnic clashes over land disputes in the southern Blue Nile State. The bloodshed is the worst in recent months, and crowds took to the streets, chanting slogans condemning a conflict that's killed hundreds this year. They repeat themselves a few times here on Al Jazeera, but eventually we get to this part. Eddie Rowe, the United Nations aid chief for Sudan, says he was deeply concerned about the continuing clashes, reporting an unconfirmed 170 have been killed and 327 injured since the latest unrest began on October 13th. Many analysts consider the rioting and violence a product of the power vacuum in the region caused by the military coup last October. The violence has also further threatened Sudan's already struggling economy, compounded by fuel shortage, which is caused in part by, yep, you guessed it, the war in Ukraine. Wow, we're almost halfway done. Way to go, guys. I'm going to be gone on Saturday and Sunday, of course, and then Monday, hopefully my, hopefully... I don't know what I was saying. I'm sorry. I'm so sleepy. Anyway, I'll hopefully be back on Monday. It should be. Fingers crossed. We'll see how what's happening in workspace, workland. This week has just been super horrible. I basically go to work, wake up, take a shower, go to work, come home, go to sleep, or lay down. Realize I haven't done this. Jump up, record it, go back to sleep. Nova Scotia shooting. Inquiry releases audio of RCMP commissioner call. An inquiry into Canada's worst mass shooting has released audio of a call that led to political interference claims in the massacre investigation. The head of the RCMP, the federal police force, was accused of pressuring local officers to help advance the Trudeau government's gun control plans. The accusation stemmed from notes from the first call released in June as part of the inquiry. Commissioner Brenda Leckie has denied any meddling in the investigation. Thursday, the Nova Scotia Mass Casualty Commission posted partial audio recordings and transcripts of the call between Ms. Leckie and local RCMP personnel. The April 28, 2020 recording was made by media relations officers at RCMP headquarters who was on the meeting. The meeting was held some 10 days after a gunman posing as a police officer killed 22, including an RCMP officer. Mr. Trudeau has said his government did not put any undue influence or pressure on police, and his Minister of Public Safety at the time of the shooting, Bill Blair, has also denied wrongdoing. According to transcripts and recordings released on Thursday, Ms. Leckie tells local staff, "Does anybody realize what's going on in the world of handguns right now? The fact that we're in the middle of trying to get legislation going, the fact that legislation is supposed to actually help police, and the fact that the very little information I asked to be put into speaking notes could not be accommodated." She also says that while she understands the protocol of keeping some information for the public during investigations, she felt completely disrespected by the fact I was told that Darren was going to talk about the guns in his speaking note as soon as I got confirmation advice the minister's office that it wasn't there. She says it was only a fluke that guns came up during the conference, as the issue was raised by the media. So, if you put that together, it seems like it's bad news for the head of the RCMP. So, this is kind of an interesting one. New York court dismisses Kevin Spacey's sexual assault case. New York court has dismissed a sexual assault lawsuit against the actor Kevin Spacey. The case was brought by Anthony Rapp, who says the actor inappropriately touched him at a party in 1986 when he was just 14. Mr. Rapp, now 50 and also an actor, filed the legal action in September 2020 and has been seeking around $40 million in damages. Mr. Spacey is an Oscar winner and denied accusations against him. He's separately facing 5 charges in the UK of sexual assault, to which he has pleaded not guilty, and the trial is expected to begin in June 2023. Taking the stand in his own defense in the third week of the trial, Mr. Spacey said he was shocked when Mr. Rapp went public with his allegation 5 years ago. Oh, goodness. Sorry. How about this? Check it out. I got a song for you, and then we'll finish up with a couple more pieces of news.
Thinking of
late at night. I woke up and was like, oh no, I gotta record this. That's one of my favorite songs right now. It's called Her by Eerie. E-E-R-Y. Let's see. They're a verified artist. 267,574 monthly listeners. And, yeah, anyway, I think it's a great little song. All right, let's finish up. Let's finish up strong. We can do this. I forgot to do this at the top of the show. Darn it. If you want to... excuse me. If you want to catch the show later on, or you just want to see the headlines that I was going to talk about, you can go to tx0.org/1DL. That's tx0.org/1DL. Like down low or dubious line. Something like that. All right. So here's some weird news for you. A California eye doctor has said an elderly patient who came in complaining of blurry vision ended up having 23 disposable contact lenses in her eye. To this day, she herself does not understand how it took place. Dr. Caterina Curtivella, a Newport Beach ophthalmologist, told a local news TV channel. She's still baffled by it all. Photographs and a video of the cascade of contact lenses being removed from a woman's eye have gone viral on Curtiva's Instagram page and prompted a flurry of horrified news coverage. The patient, who is in her 70s, has been avoiding regular visits with her eye doctor because she's afraid of being infected with COVID-19. Curtiva told the Today Show when she finally came into the practice early September. Woman said she felt something foreign in her right eye. After retrieving a few contact lenses from my and spotting more of them, Curtiva had her assistant record the removal on her phone. I thought this could be my Guinness World Book of World Record moment, the doctor said. Finding a patient with 23 disposable contact lenses in one eye is not a record-breaking number, according to the Academy of... In 2017, doctors preparing a 67-year-old British woman for cataract surgery found 27 contact lenses in her eye. Decades of contact lens wearing can desensitize the eyes, making it less likely people will feel missing contact lenses even if they're trapped in the eye. Also, as people get older, the socket of the upper lid becomes really deep, Curtiva told newscast. Yeah, we need... Oh, no, I'm sorry. here, let me play a song. I'm going to... no, you know what? Here, I'll just give you a quick couple of headlines, and then I'll play us a song. Sorry about that. Elon Musk plans to cut Twitter staff by nearly 75%, according to leaked documents. Tesla boss was given until October 28th by a judge to close a $44 billion deal for social media giant platform. Elon Musk plans to cut Twitter staff by 45. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, this really fell off the rails. The Tesla told prospective investors in his deal to buy Twitter that he intends to reduce the company's staff from around 7,500 down to just over 2,000. He attempted to renew his attempt to buy his company earlier this month after trying to back out of the deal. Twitter's current board had already planned to reduce wages at the company by around $800 million by the end of 2023 and reduce staff by 25%. Mr. Musk agreed to buy the company for $54.20 a share in April, but by July had indicated he'd change his mind, citing bot and spam issues. Ugh. Early voters in Arizona report harassment by poll watchers. Complaints detail ballot drop box monitors filming, following, and calling voters mules. A voter in Maricopa County, Arizona, claims a group of people watching a ballot drop box photographed and followed the voter and their wife after they deposited their ballots at the box, accusing them of being mules. The voter filed a complaint with the Arizona Secretary of State, who forwarded it to U.S. Department of Justice and the Arizona Attorney. Okay. What is happening? Microsleep. That's the word. That is a word. And that is what's happening. I am sleep deprived. But I do gotta tell you, Louisiana is finally moving some of its child inmates. You know, nothing says slavery like child slavery. Posters read, "Keep trying," and "Caring is thinking for your heart," cover old markers of Angola's past. That's right, the feared, absolutely horrible, torturous place called Angola. Now it's home for some kids. 8 incarcerated young people have moved from troubled detention facilities across Louisiana to death row unit on the grounds of Louisiana State Penitentiary, the first phase of the state's youth transfer process to the notorious prison known as Angola. The West Feliciana Center for Youth at Angola, the site of a former plantation fueled by slave labor that is now among the largest maximum security prisons in the U.S., stands near the gates to the sprawling prison complex. And you can't tell me that it wasn't intentional. But don't worry, the children are treated worse than as bad or worse than anyone else. 4 children from the Acadia Center for Youth at St. Martinville, 4 others from Swanson Center for Youth at Monroe were transferred to the facility this week. 10 other children are moved from Bridge Center for Youth outside New Orleans to the Swanson Center. No other state in the U.S. houses children and young adults in the juvenile justice system on the grounds of an adult prison, let alone a facility with a reputation as one of the most dangerous in the nation. Let's see. Civil rights attorneys, former justice officials, and federal district judges have criticized the move, which U.S. District Judge Shelley Dick called untenable and likely to cause psychological trauma and harm. I'm just waiting for the time when we finally get, like, Hellraiser-type punishments. And it's just like, oh, sorry, Charlie. You got caught stealing some gum. So we're going to just flay your hand open and then make you type an apology on this keyboard. And while you do that, we're going to blow salt at you from a fan. But don't worry. If your hand falls off, we'll let you go home. Anyway, that's just me being a little crazy. Oh, my golly. Here's a song, because I'm... Oh, this is a descent. Welcome to the basement of the internet, and thank you for being here. All right, let's get it going. Do do do. Dubious Calls Committee time. It's coming up soon. You better enjoy it. I don't know how to say the name of this song because it's in Russian.